Dan, good morning.
Good to be with you.
So in your research, what are the main issues facing young people in our world today?
So I've spent the last 12 years tracking young Australians through their 20s, basically, and all the things you just covered. You did a good job. You did the work for me. So people are investing a lot of time and energy in education and working along the way, and then finding the step from there into secure work, which, despite what you might read in the paper sometimes, young people still very much want, and a career, getting into those kind of things has gotten quite a bit harder. And at the same time, housing prices have just taken off, and other things can make it harder to build the kind of adult life that the baby boomers may have, in some ways, just been able to take for granted.
Now, in what ways have millennials formed and participated in communities despite these challenges that they're facing?
Well, you know, we have new opportunities to engage with each other now, as well as new challenges that we've just talked about. But we do have social media and a whole online world and new ways of organising and things to get together around. But one of the things that I wanted to make clear in the newspaper article I wrote for The Guardian yesterday is that the generations do have very much different life experiences. And in some ways, there's a compelling case to be made that we're making changes to Australia that are making people's quality of life, particularly if people want a sense of security and building up security over time, harder. But the generations are getting along really well in lots of other ways. So the conflict idea makes some sense, but it's limited because we get along, particularly, and not in every case, with the boomers as our parents if we're younger, because they've helped us out in all kinds of ways often. Whether our parents are rich or poor, they're usually doing what they can to help us manage these new challenges.
And you talked about how the young people now are experiencing a different life to young people quite a few years ago. So how do these findings differ from the experiences of young people almost 20 years ago?
Well, so some of the big differences are, and one of the things to note about all these labels about generational differences is there's so much variety packed into them. So there were people who had a very tough time as baby boomers as well. And in some things, it was harder then. You couldn't buy consumer goods for the price you can now. Things are much cheaper in today's money. You can travel so much more easily than you used to be able to. But the baby boomers had a very different housing market that was easy to get into without either winning the lottery, which is, you know, just enough for a deposit now in Sydney, or having very, very rich parents. And they could also leave school without necessarily finishing year 12 and have a relatively smooth run into the labour market, particularly young men. So this isn't the case for everyone, but the labour market and the housing market and all these things were very different.
Now, how have these findings demonstrated a shift in intergenerational expectations?
Well, one of the things that's happened is that a lot of the baby boomers left quite a bit earlier than people do today. They left home, so moved out. And part of that was because they could, you know. And if people are studying longer and such and jobs are casual and feel insecure, it can be hard to do that. But also, expectations have changed. So parents often expect their children to hang around at home for longer these days and are willing, if not actually happy, to have them there. And also there's been changes in the way you can live as an adult at home. So for the baby boomers, it would have been very difficult to be treated like an adult in terms of, for example, your intimate relationships, bringing your partner home to stay over the night or something. In your early 20s, if you weren't married and living at home, for many baby boomers, that would have been unthinkable.
Scandalous.
And that's changed a lot today.
Now, just to sort of as a final point, you just talked about a little bit before about how labels here also kind of cause a bit of a problem. So you acknowledge in your work that generational stereotypes distract us from the actual real problem, which is class and contemporary economic inequality that creates what you refer to as generational dimension. So can you just explain what that means to us?
Yeah. So my take is that sometimes we think of it having to be either generations or class. Mm-hmm. But the two things are kind of intermixed. So we still live in a society that's shaped profoundly by the economy, as we always will, and that economy creates these class-based inequalities. But they've got these generational dimensions now because, in a way, we're more reliant on parental support than we were during the youth of the baby boomers to navigate all these things. So it means the kind of resources that can be passed through families matter more than they used to. So what I hope people take away from the article is that if we don't think about it either being a generational conflict or a class conflict, but look at the way there's kind of these class dimensions to any generational grouping, as well as gender differences and ethnicity and race, that mean that you have a very different experience as a member of one of these groups, the baby boomers, millennials, Gen X, than somebody else. So there's these generational dimensions to how class works today, but also any generational grouping is going to be split in different ways by these other things that make a difference in our lives.
Great. All right. Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining us today to have a bit of a chat about this. We appreciate you making the time.
Thanks for having me. It was good fun.